Our topic this hour, the great download debate and its impact on both the recording industry and on how we use the internet. For a number of years now, music's been available on the internet for people to download and exchange with millions of others using file sharing programs. Now, as you might imagine, the recording industry does not think that this is a swell idea. And the industry is now going after some of the bigger swappers. And two congressmen have introduced legislation that would make it easier to crack down on this activity. There is a lot at stake at all this, both for the music business and for how we've grown accustomed to using the internet. And that's what we want to talk about next with our guests. Joining us, Alec French, who is the minority counsel on the House Judiciary Committee. He works for Congressman Howard Berman of California, who's proposing the new legislation we just mentioned. Mr. French, good morning.
Glad to be with you.
And joining us as well is Jason Schultz, who is the staff attorney for the Electronic Frontier Foundation, a group that's been concerned about the proposed legislation. Jason Schultz, happy to have you here.
Thanks. Happy to be here.
Here, too, is Joseph Menn. He's a Los Angeles Times reporter who covers the technology industry, and he's also the author of All the Rave, The Rise and Fall of Sean Fanning's Napster. Mr. Menn, thanks for joining us.
Thanks a lot.
Now, let me start with you, if I might, Mr. Menn, and let's just do a little quick technology 101. Because for people like me who don't really get the difference between an MP3 and a P2P, this can all seem sort of daunting, but it's really not that complicated a concept, is it? I mean, basically, this technology just allows you to get the music that you want for free and swap it with other people. Is that about right?
Well, I mean, how much people, whether it's free or not, or based on advertising or cost of initial software is a separate issue, and there are plenty of variations of that now, and I think there are going to be a lot more to come if the decision holding that some of these systems are legal is upheld. But the basic technology, you're right, is not all that fancy. It was a great insight a few years ago, and it just sort of combines the search engine with what's known in tech jargon as presence awareness, like an instant messaging system that knows who's on at any one time. And all Sean Fanning did was combine some of those elements so that if you're searching for music, only people with music who are online and that music is available will show up. So you know it's there.
And speaking of Sean Fanning and Napster, again, for people who might not have tracked this story terribly closely, it'd be possible to think that once Napster went away, was taken out of business 2.5 years ago, that this went away. But it hasn't. How come, Joseph Menn, is this still available, given that Napster was what Napster was doing was ruled illegal?
Well, there are a couple things. I mean, one is, again, because it was more of a brilliant insight than some patentable invention, other people were able to mimic it and write similar programs. And legally what happened was that they learned from Napster's mistakes. I mean, Napster was the, beheaded revolutionary, and the people who came after did a number of things different. Technically, they made it more decentralized so that one of the reasons that Napster got in big trouble was that it knew who was swapping with whom at any point in time.
And that made the copyright argument much more clear, because you could point at Napster and say, hey, you know that what people are doing is illegal.
Exactly. There was an ongoing relationship with the end user. And the Sony Betamax decision, the 5-4 ruling some years ago that said the VCR was legal, just barely, one of the main reasons is that after the VCR is sold, the company that makes the VCR has no control over what those people do. And so the subsequent peer-to-peer companies, Morpheus and Kazaa and Grokster, sort of mimic that. And they give you the software, and then they get out of the picture, and you find each other. There's no ongoing relationship, or not very much of one, not like Napster had.
All right. And Jason Schultz, let me bring you into this. The reason why this is a big deal, in fact, both for users and for the recording industry and the people who are concerned about it, is because lots of people do that. The figures I read are that something like 25 million people, or 25 million households, which is about a third of all households that have computers, are engaged in music downloading. So this is not just something that's happening here and there. It's something that a lot of people are doing, and that's why the recording industry is concerned.
Well, yeah. In fact, the numbers that we've seen are close to 60 million people are file sharing in America.
So, you know, it's close to one in five Americans, if you want to go and look at it that way. And it's become very much a part of the technology that people have come to expect to be part of the Internet. They like file sharing and they want to keep it. And I think that's posed the central question is, you know, are you going to start to sue and prosecute 60 million Americans and try and use the legal system to essentially enforce a prohibition against using technology that they've already come accustomed to using?
And Alec French, with the who is the minority counsel on the House Judiciary Committee and works for Congressman Howard Berman of California, this whole question of sort of putting 60 million Americans or whatever the million number is in jail, you know, obviously sounds like something that would be incredibly difficult to do and perhaps unwarranted because it's just people exchanging music. Make the case for us, if you would, as to why this is something that you think needs to be addressed.
Well, you know, I think the first thing you have to do is step back a little, and the way that you've posed the debate is, users versus recording industry, and the people that Mr. Berman hears from certainly hears from the recording industry, but he hears from needlepoint designers, photographers, graphic designers, songwriters who are seeing their livelihoods eviscerated by file swapping, by online piracy in general. Thousands of e-groups that are swapping and needlepoint designs, photographs being sent everywhere. Certainly, songwriters lose 8 cents for every download that someone makes through a peer-to-peer system because by statute they're limited, not even allowed to get more than 8 cents. And the songwriter, by the way, is not the recording artist or the record label. The songwriter is some guy or gal who typically makes less than $20,000 a year and from royalties, and they're seeing file swapping just eviscerate their livelihood. So it's these type of individual copyright owners who are most dramatically affected by the file swapping that's going on, and it's these kind of people that need some help from by stopping file swapping, illegal file swapping. Mr. Berman all along has been very clear that the technology is a great technology and used for legitimate purposes is a great idea, and if artists, creators of any stripe want to use it to distribute their product, more power to them. But certainly, file swappers don't have the right to make that distribution decision. It's the artist who has the right to decide whether they're going to distribute their product through this mechanism.
Jason Schultz, your response to that, because that's the clear argument, that you're basically jeopardizing people's livelihoods, whether that's recording artists or needlepoint designers or whomever. Those people are not allowed to collect payment for their product because this illegal swapping is going on.
Well, I mean, I think Alec brings up a very good point, which is the key issue here is whether the authors and artists are getting paid or not. And I think actually that's a focal point for the solution. But let me point out that, I mean, realistically, the recording industry is the one who is subpoenaing, 871 people's personal identities right now, and they're the ones who are going to be bringing the lawsuits. There are complaints from, I'm sure graphic designers and needlepoint artists, but the people who are really bringing the lawsuits and are really making the threats are the recording industry companies who, produce the CDs. The other thing is that the new law proposed by Congressman Berman, the ACOPS law, as they're calling it, to make file sharing a felony, basically, even for one song, doesn't put a single penny in the pocket of artists. And so if you're going to talk about a solution to this problem of artists not getting paid, I think that's where you've got to start. There are ways to fix this that don't involve lawsuits, don't involve criminal prosecution. The copyright law has always been malleable, and when you've had problems like this in the past, we simply changed the copyright law to make sure that artists get paid for something, and I think we could do that here, and it would keep file sharing legal, get artists paid, and solve the problem.
But I assume the way in which artists would benefit from this, if this piece of legislation goes through, Mr. French, is that it would cut down on the activity, and therefore one would presume if people are feeling threatened by this, don't want to go to jail because of this, don't want to be sued because of this, they'll stop. And if they'll stop, then CD sales or needlepoint sales or whatever it happens to be will go back up again, and artists will benefit from that process. Is that right?
Well, a couple points. One, part of this is about artists getting paid, but part of this is also, we do live in a society that respects property rights. It's not someone else's decision as to whether they'll take away an artist's property right. The artist has the right in the intellectual property, and if they choose not to let anyone have it, they have that right, and it's not a matter of government deciding whether they're going to take away artist's property rights or not. Secondly, you know, you're right, the only lawsuits you're going to see right now are the recording industry, because an individual needlepoint designer, as Lynn Skinner, a needlepoint designer, pointed out in a hearing before Congress just last week, can't afford the $20,000 buy-in to bring a civil action. She doesn't have the money to sue someone, and people know this. I mean, just read to you 2 seconds of an email that a needlepoint designer got back that was posted to an e-group, says, the trolleys, that's what they call designers who are trying to enforce their rights, have been harassing us for years. Any lawsuits? No. Anyone been arrested? No. Anyone lose internet service? No. They're full of hot air. Ignore the whiny little twits. Well, you know, this shows the attitude of the infringer, that needlepoint designers can't sue them. They don't have the resources. No one's ever been thrown in jail. It's you know, a free-for-all. Let's go for it.
This may seem simplistic, but let me just ask this question, just so that we all have a kind of bottom-line understanding about what's legal and what's not. As I understand it, using one of these file exchange programs like Morpheus and LimeWire and others, it's illegal, right? I mean, to use this to acquire music without any compensation to the artists is illegal. Is that correct, Mr. French?
The courts have stated very clearly now, whether it's Napster or the Madster Court or even the Elcom Court, that using a peer-to-peer system to upload or download a copyrighted work from another without authorization, another's copyrighted work without authorization, does not come under any definition of fair use. It is an infringement because it is a distribution to the world, to millions.
And Joseph Mann, let me bring you back in on that point. Given that understanding that there are, you know, somewhere between 25 and 60 million people doing something illegal, do people know that? I mean, you cover this culture, you cover technology for the LA Times. Is there sort of just a kind of cavalier sense that, oh well, it's not hurting anybody, what does it matter?
Well, I think one of the many pieces of evidence in the Napster case was the sort of comment that was typical on their bulletin boards. It was a user who wrote, "We all know it's illegal, we just don't think it's wrong." And I think there is a danger that we may be losing an entire generation here. I think copyrights as a whole have been devalued dramatically. And part of it, you know, we're sort of letting the record industry off the hook here. A lot of this is their fault. They didn't come up with viable alternatives. Record executives I interviewed, you know, did a mea culpa on this. The Apple Store is very good, and it's what they should have done 4 years ago for the 97% of people that don't have Apples.
Let me just interject, if I might, there, for people who are not familiar with this. There are now legal alternatives to this if you want to download music. There's the thing that Apple started called iTunes. There's actually a new version of a legal version of Napster that's coming out, and there are others which allow you basically to pay a subscription fee to get an amount of music per month, or to acquire titles one at a time for 99 cents or whatever. So there are now, and you're suggesting if that had been done some time ago, all of this other stuff wouldn't have proliferated so much?
It wouldn't have been this big. It would certainly still be around. I think the other point, though, is that you can't criminalize 60 million people. I mean, it's not going to work. And the history of the peer-to-peer movement, which is, I think, what it is, shows that draconian laws and lawsuits aren't going to work. I mean, you're just declaring war on a bunch of hackers isn't really smart. It's going to backfire. The peer-to-peer systems will start competing on who has better cloaking devices.
Mm-hmm. Let me read you a quote, if I might, and Jason Schultz, get your response to it. Alec French had a quote that he said represented a certain attitude. This is another one that I found that I suspect represents the attitude of many people who use this technology, and it's from someone who says this: "I know what I'm doing is illegal, but I feel it is no more threatening to the music industry than taping a TV show is threatening to the broadcast industry."
Yeah, I mean, I think that quote actually says a lot, because of the 60 million Americans who are file sharing, a huge percentage of that are teenagers and college students. And if we're targeting criminal laws at teenagers and college students, and I mean, do we really want to put all those people in jail? The question becomes, is there a cultural shift going on in what copyright law should be? I mean, copyright law may be right now that much of this is illegal, but just as Congress can make it a felony, Congress can also change things to make it a different copyright law where file sharing is legal. And I think that's a valid question to ask, is why are we not pursuing that avenue as vigorously as we might be pursuing others?
Alec French on that question.
I mean, I think that's an incredible attitude, that somewhat of an elitist attitude, that if you have a computer and you've got the money for a computer and a broadband connection and ISP and you happen to be in college, stealing shouldn't be criminal. But if you're a kid who doesn't have that computer, and when you want to steal music, you got to go into the neighborhood record store and pocket a CD, oh, well, that's shoplifting, and you should be penalized and prosecuted for that. I mean, just because someone has the money to be able to steal through a high-tech method, they shouldn't be found to be criminally liable. But if they have to do it because they don't have the money by pocketing a CD, it's okay. You know, and I got to say, first, you know, I've kind of allowed this characterization of Mr. Berman's bill to go on, but he's not criminalizing any activity that wasn't already criminal. I got to be clear about that. Downloading one CD, one song right now may be criminal as a misdemeanor under current law. Mr. Berman isn't changing the standards at all by which that's determined. He's simply saying in certain circumstances, uploading one copy now equals uploading 10 copies. But you still have to prove as a prosecutor it was a willful infringement with knowledge, with intent to infringe. That it was infringement has to prove that beyond a reasonable doubt. So this bill doesn't criminalize any more activity than was already criminal.
Well, it does make it a felony, so uploading one file becoming a felony, you lose your right to vote, you go to jail for up to 5 years, and I mean, for teenagers and college students, that's a pretty harsh penalty. But I think it raises this question of, when you mentioned stealing and taking something from, you know, a CD store, I mean, that's a good question, because I think this is a little more of a gray area. We've had this problem before in copyright law. You know, the recording industry, when radio was started to play, you know, music on the air, accused them of stealing the music. The movie industry accused television stations of stealing movies when they play them on the air. These things get worked out in copyright law. And in fact, the notion that the copyright owner absolutely controls everything about their copyright is not true. In fact, there are a number of parts of copyright law, like fair use, that you can't protect ideas. And in fact, there are even compulsory licenses where in the music industry, for instance, if you want to make a cover of a song, the copyright owner cannot actually stop you, but you have to pay them a compulsory rate of 8 cents per song per copy.
So,
and,
Jason,
and that's exactly the compulsory license that's not being paid through P2P services right now. Every single copy that a P2P user makes, they're supposed to be paying 8 cents to the songwriter, and they're not. So, obviously, the compulsory license doesn't work in this case. But just to take that basic point, no property right is absolute. They're all limited in some way. What you're proposing is, let's limit the property rights in this circumstance farther to accommodate thieves.